New ways of working and delivering care. The challenge of COVID-19 has compelled the NHS to make the best use of our people's skills and experience to provide the best possible patient care. People have risen to the challenge and have been flexible and adaptable, with many colleagues rapidly brought into services outside of their normal scope of practice, and new teams created around people's experience and capabilities rather than traditional roles. Successes in teams were made possible by good communication, high levels of trust, distributed leadership, and rapid decision-making, as bureaucracy fell away and people felt empowered to do what was needed. Teams also blurred sector boundaries, with greater collaborative working with colleagues in social care. We must all now build on this momentum to transform the way our teams, organizations and systems work together, and how care is delivered for patients. A remote Ask the Medical Reg service was run by doctors unable to work in face-to-face contact for a number of reasons. This was a 24-hour service for GPs, surgical doctors and paramedics to call for help and support, follow-up of results of discharged patients, and so on, to ease the workload of the medical registrar on call, managing issues that require face-to-face contact. It worked really well. Hospital doctor, Southwest. Support during COVID-19 so far. During the first phase of the COVID-19 response, the whole NHS, including employers and our people, needed reassurance that whatever new roles they took on were legal and covered by employers' indemnity. So NHS England and NHS Improvement worked with a wide range of key partners to develop guidance and establish a framework to ensure that our people were safely and legally deployed. For example, staffing ratios in critical care were reviewed to ensure that there were enough staff in place to respond to the unprecedented demand for these skills. NHS bodies also worked in close partnership with other sectors, including supporting social care with infection prevention and control training. Meanwhile, academia and industry developed solutions to enable mass testing, technological advances and wide-scale remote working across the NHS, in response to the pandemic. Health and care systems deployed staff and students across organizations and sectors. Voluntary sector organizations of all sizes stepped forward to help the NHS, for example, supporting with hospital discharge, to free up our people to focus on other aspects of the response. Healthcare scientists in London have been redeployed to support high-intensity treatments for COVID-19 and critical care support roles. Making the most of the skills in our teams. The NHS's response so far to COVID-19 has shown how quickly and effectively our people can adapt to meet the needs of patients. Staff working and learning together, in new multi-professional teams, was critical in meeting the new challenge. We must build on this, actively designing multi-professional teams around the full range of experience and capabilities of clinical and non-clinical members of staff, keeping patient and staff safety at the forefront. In response to pandemic surge demand, a rolling program of clinical skills education enabled a cohort of B nurses to be clinically prepared to support the critical care A nurses in bedside delivery. More than 100 additional professionals were upskilled with critical care essentials and proning techniques. On return to their normal area of practice, they have taken their additional skills to enhance their practice, plus a collaborative appreciation of organizational services and ability and willingness for future redeployment. Intensive care nurse, Southeast. Staff should expect organizations and employers to focus on the following areas. Supporting deployment and redeployment, employers should use guidance on safely redeploying existing staff and deploying returning staff, developed in response to COVID-19 by NHS England and NHS Improvement and key partners, alongside the existing tool to support a structured approach to ongoing workforce transformation. Upskilling staff. There should be continued focus on upskilling, developing skills and expanding capabilities, to create more flexibility, boost morale and support career progression. Systems should keep the need for local retraining and upskilling under review, working in partnership with local higher education institutions. There is wide recognition of the need for a nationally recognized critical care qualification which is open to different professions. He will work with professional and regulatory bodies to provide this to offer continuing professional development opportunities for people wishing to specialize in this area. He is also working with the medical royal colleges and regulators to ensure that competencies gained by medical trainees whilst working in other roles during COVID-19 can be recognized and count towards training. Technology-enhanced learning. Employers and organizations should use his e-learning for healthcare, ELFH, program and a new online learning hub, which was launched to support learning during COVID-19. They include resources and training on new ways of working, including GP remote consultations and remote triage, remote learning for colleagues being redeployed to ICU, and content for nurses, midwives, allied health professionals, radiographers, pharmacy staff and those working in the independent and social care sectors. Developing generalist skills, in July 2020, he published the Future Doctor Report, which sets out the reforms needed in education and training to equip doctors with the skills that the future NHS needs, and which have been much in demand during the COVID-19 response so far. During 2020-21, he will develop the educational offer for this generalist training and work with local systems to develop the leadership and infrastructure required to deliver it. Primary care teams. By the end of 2020-21, he will support the expansion of multidisciplinary teams in primary care, through the full rollout of primary care training hubs, to make sure there are enough people and leaders to create multidisciplinary teams that can respond to local population need. Making the most of the skills and energy in our wider workforce.
Volunteers have played a vital role in supporting patients during the pandemic.
Between April and July, in an unprecedented response, more than 360,000 members of the public volunteered through the NHS Volunteer Responders Programme, offering their time and energy to support the NHS. We must build on this incredible movement to support a renewed focus on increasing longer-term volunteering opportunities in the NHS.
This is already being done, for example with the launch of the NHS Cadets, a new scheme set up with St. John Ambulance, providing a chance to support patients and a new route into a future in the NHS.
By 2023, NHS England and NHS Improvement aims to enrol 10,000 young people.
Organizations and systems are encouraged to focus on the following.
Training volunteers. The National Learning Hub for Volunteering has been launched by HE and should be used to support the learning, training and development of volunteers across health, social care and the third sector. Routes into employment for volunteers. Systems and employers should review how volunteers can help support recovery and restoration. They should also have a plan to support any volunteers who wish to move into NHS employment. This must include a focus on providing opportunities for hard-to-reach groups, such as people with learning disabilities, and ensuring volunteers reflect the diversity of their communities. Inspiring the next generation, systems and employers should promote the NHS Ambassadors Programme to their people and allow them time to do this valuable outreach work. The scheme supports NHS people to volunteer their time to connect with school children and young people, to showcase what we do and attract them into future careers in the NHS.
Educating and training our people for the future.
Weekly webinars have been just one of the ways the Digital Nurse Network has developed the online skills of general practice nurses across the country and build a digital-ready workforce in primary care. In the first phase of the COVID-19 response, the NHS had to put many formal training pathways and placements on hold so that everyone could focus on the immediate priority of supporting patients. Now, employers, line managers and supervisors must once again create the time and space for the training and development of our people, and our future colleagues, with a renewed emphasis on the importance of flexible skills and building capabilities rather than staying within traditionally defined roles. I'm a second-year medical student at Birmingham University, and when coronavirus hit earlier this year, like many other students, we were told our exams were cancelled. We were, however, offered the chance to train as an NHS 111 call assessor, and I'm very pleased I did. It's a massive reward when you know you've helped someone, especially when they thank you at the end of the call and say they're going to pray for you. Even as doctors in training, all we want to do is help people to the best of our ability. Medical student and 111 call handler, West Midlands.
This is expected to include
maintaining education to grow the future workforce. Employers should fully integrate education and training into their plans to rebuild and restart clinical services, releasing the time of educators and supervisors to continue growing our workforce,
and supporting expansion of clinical placement capacity during the remainder of 2020-21, and also providing an increased focus on support for students and trainees, particularly those deployed during the pandemic response. For medical trainees, employers should ensure that training in procedure-based competencies is restored as services resume and are redesigned to sustain the pipeline of new consultants in hospital specialties. Continuing professional development, during 2020-21, employers must make sure our people have access to continuing professional development, supportive supervision, and protected time for training. Employers have received new funding to support the continuing professional development of nurses, midwives, and allied health professionals, equivalent to £1,000 per person over 3 years. Employers will need to support this investment through backfilling staff time during training. Support for clinical placements. To support employers in educating and training the next general of professionals, he is establishing a £10 million fund to drive increased placement capacity for nurses, midwives, and allied health professionals, and to support the development of technology-enhanced clinical placements. Expanding e-learning, in 2020-21, he will further develop its e-learning materials, including simulation, building on the offer provided in response to COVID. Investing in online education. From January 2021, several universities across England will start delivering a pre-registration blended learning nursing degree program, commissioned by HE. The program aims to increase the appeal of a nursing career by widening access and providing a more flexible approach to learning, using current and emerging innovative and immersive technologies. HE will also pursue this blended learning model for entry to other professions. An additional starting point for nursing degrees, making a total of 3 intakes per year, responds to the surge in interest in, and applications to, nursing degrees as well as the demand from the NHS.